Welcome to St. Peter's on this first Sunday of Lent. We're celebrating preschool, our Lutheran Schools Week, and we have we're so happy that we have a preschool connected to our church. Denise Langlois is the director of the preschool, and we're licensed for 50 children a day. And we have about 63 families that are part of our program. And it is delightful for our congregation to have this ministry. And we're really happy that we have a group of our older children with us today to do our prelude. Stand and turn to face the font and the cross as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, anoint us, and make us new.
Amen.
In these 40 days, let us be honest, confess our sin, and receive God's promise of mercy. God, at the margins, we have wandered far from your home. Again and again, we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promised to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins in the name of Christ, leading you from death to life. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now so that, following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Reef, come on up. Come on up, Reef. Do you want to come too? Come on, Mom. You too. Right here. Right here, Brighton. Over here. So, I have a question for you. I'm going to sit right here next to you, Evelyn. I have a question for you. Who are you? Who are you?
I am me.
You are you? Who are you?
I'm
what if I said you aren't you? What if I said you were Joe Jones? You'd be confused, and so would everybody else. You know, sometimes people want to know who we are, and... Well, I want to know who you are. I have one way we can know who we are is by wearing a name tag. So I have a name tag. Miss Denise, you can help us. This is for Avalon. Can you put that on? Ben, where's Ben? There's Ben. You can put this on. Maybe I can ask Miss Becca or Miss Gabby to come up and help as well. Willem? Where's Willem sitting? Okay. Willems. Aiden. Where's Aiden? Aiden isn't here yet. Madeline. Let's see. Who else do I have? I have one that says Penny. That goes here. Sure. You can make one for the kids that there's a couple who aren't here. I don't have name tags for. I don't have a name tag that says Reese. Danielle. Where did Danielle go? She walked away. Oh, there she is. I didn't see you there. Where's Reef? Oh, get another reef. Elijah and Connor and Jimmy. And we have a little brother. And we have, where's Rourke? Stand up and I'll put this on you. There you go. Okay, sometimes name tags can, okay, I'll take all the trash. Sometimes name tags help others to know who we are. Today, when you go to Sunday school, you're going to hear a story about Jesus. And he knew who he was. Who was Jesus? God's son. And he knew that, but the devil wanted to tell him he was somebody else. The devil said, no, you're not God's son. You are somebody else. You're somebody that wants to be powerful and take over the world. And Jesus said, no, I'm God's son. That's who I am. And the devil keeps trying and trying to take away his identity. You have an identity. Now you've got a name tag on, so everybody knows who you are. But do you know who you are at your very, very basic? Not only just by your name, but you are somebody's child. Aren't you somebody's child? Do you have moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas? Do you have family? So you're part of that family. That makes you who you are as well. And we're in church today, and we started out our church by singing that we have a river of life in us. You are God's child too. You are God's precious child, and God loves you so much that God has given you a name and a family, and you belong. You belong to God. You belong to God's family. You belong to your family who is here in church with us. You belong, and you are loved. And you'll hear more about that when you go to Sunday school. So you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Sunday school.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make the response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 91 responsively. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty,
you may say to the Lord, my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust.
Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation.
No evil will befall you, nor shall affliction come near your dwelling.
For God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. You will tread upon the lion cub and the viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent.
You will deliver those who cling to me. I will uphold them because they know my name.
They will call me and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them.
With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The Scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For as there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, the same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you. Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up to a high mountain and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all their authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, all of this will be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
be to you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. Later this spring, I will be a number of my cousins and our three remaining aunts are going to be having a reunion in Phoenix to celebrate my Aunt Audrey's 90th birthday. This will be the first cousins gathering in a long time, quite a few years. I think the last time we were there, that we were all gathered together was for my Aunt Carol's funeral a few years ago, and for my fateful descent down the hotel stairs that resulted in my broken hip. This time my siblings have rented a single-story house, and they make no opportunity missed to give me a hard time about it. They're always teasing me. I'm glad I can get in on this family gathering and the stories. The storytelling is always the best part. When I was little, my cousins and I would hide under the dining room table when the aunties gathered around the table to play cards or to put together a jigsaw puzzle. We would be under the table, and we had to be really quiet and make sure that we were out of foot range, and then we would listen. And we would listen, and it didn't take long before the stories started. And they always started with, remember when? Remember when? Those stories about the past told us who we were and where we had come from. Those stories gave us roots. These days, when the aunties gather around the table and work the jigsaw puzzle, there aren't any little girls under the table. My cousins and I are in the next room, probably with a glass of wine in hand, but definitely telling our own stories that start out, remember when? Stories of our past are really important. They remind us of who we are. When I work with a couple in marriage preparation, at least one of the sessions is always on families of origin. Talking about how you were raised, how your parents made decisions and handled conflicts, what are your family traditions around seasons and holidays. These stories are very helpful in understanding who you are as an adult. These are the stories that form us. Our faith family of origin, the Hebrew people, were great storytellers. Moses believed that remembering where they had been and how they had come into the land that God promised and what God had done for them would help the people to remain faithful. By remembering their roots, they would remember who they were and whose they were. Today's scripture passage from Deuteronomy reflects the importance of story. Moses is setting out some guidelines that will help shape their worship traditions for the nation of Israel for generations to come. Moses said that when a worshiper approaches the priest with the offering of first fruits, they are to recite to the priest the story of Israel's deliverance. So the story begins with their ancestors, a people without a land, a people without a home. The story then remembers God's blessings that were poured out upon the people, causing them to grow in number and to flourish. And it celebrates, the telling of the story celebrates that God heard their voices and delivered them from their Egyptian oppressors. And then it concludes by celebrating the blessing of the land itself. The land that had borne these first fruits, the land of milk and honey. And it's worship that engages this entire story of the life of the people. It's worship that gives a central place to this sacrament of remembering. One commentator wrote about this passage from Deuteronomy. To be an Israelite was to be a beneficiary of the long history of God's gracious providence and care. Although it didn't happen to me, it happened to my ancestors, therefore it is my story as well. The Israelites gave voice to this truth each and every time they approached the altar in worship. The story of their lives marked by grace and mercy of the Lord. When they began to recount and to remember exactly how they had arrived in this place of blessing, their hearts turned toward God in worship and thanksgiving. And it wasn't only about remembering the past. People remembering the mighty acts of God today are encouraged then to persevere and to have hope, even in the midst of present difficulty. When the Israelites remembered the powerful hand of God at work in their past, they are encouraged to trust God today. Rehearsing those mighty acts of God offered assurance that the future was secure in God's hands as well. Like Fletcher was talking about in the announcements about the transition team, they have dedicated this month, well, until Easter time, as a history time. And they want to hear your stories about your relationship with St. Peter's. The timeline out there in the narthex marks some of that history, but if your name isn't there, it's not a full history. So I'd encourage you to simply add your name around that time, approximate year or time when you might have made your first contact with St. Peter's, and maybe you have a comment about how that came about. Remembering our history is really important as we begin this period of transition. And I'm asking you on behalf of the transition team to please participate in that process as much as you can. And you don't have to be a church member to write on that wall. Your stories, your history is important to us as well. Like the Israelites who, in remembering the stories of their past, were given trust, given assurance that the future was secure in God's hands, so too will you grow in trust and in assurance with the telling of your stories. As we begin this Lenten journey, I can think of no better way than to begin with stories. We're invited to overhear the stories of our earliest ancestors in the faith. We're encouraged to remember that even then, when a wandering Aramean was my ancestor, God was at work to gather and to claim a people. God was seeking us to redeem us and to call us each by name. And there are other stories that we remember as well. There's the stories of the Old Testament that we will hear during these Sundays of Lent. The stories of Abraham and Sarah, of Isaiah and Joshua. These stories become our story. There are stories of the New Testament, of God's Word made flesh. During Lent, the season between now and Easter, we'll hear the stories of Jesus and his disciples, a story of a faithful father and his wayward son, the story of Mary and an extravagant outpouring of oil. And those stories become our story. We hear the stories of the early church and the stories of each church that has proclaimed the truth of Christ since the days of Jesus' resurrection. And they become our story. Corporately and individually, we all have stories to tell. We remember all the blessings that we enjoy. and all the sorrows that we've endured. We think about the things that we have accomplished through the power of God at work in us. We give voice to those things that really mattered, the things that matter most to us now. We give thanks for those we have loved and those who have loved us during the course of our days. This is the way that we make meaning in life. This is the way we worship, by telling the stories. This is the way we celebrate the greatest gift received, the body and blood of Christ, given for us that we might live. During these 40 days of Lent, I pray that you might find a kitchen table, maybe with a jigsaw puzzle on it, or a glass of wine and some family and friends, or a cup of coffee and some fellow church members, and we might share our stories and swap our remember when, because these are the things that make us who we are. Remembering the past gives us hope for the future. We worship through the stories. If we listen closely to the Holy Word proclaimed from Scripture, the Holy Word shared among friends and family, we hear the good news of God's most amazing love poured out for us in ways large and small. Some places where God is at work might surprise us. Yet at the very end of the story, we and all of those with us shall celebrate, as Moses said, with all the bounty that the Lord our God has given. May your stories be rich and shared. Amen.